What a story we are looking at this evening. Matthew 15, 21 to 28. This encounter between Jesus and the Canaanite woman. There really is nothing quite like it in all the Gospels. In a way, it's rather shocking. Does Jesus really begin by ignoring this woman who comes to him for help in her desperate situation? And what about his language? But it would hardly be uncommon for Jews to dismiss Gentiles as inferior dogs. Gentiles is the Bible's term for non-Jews, everyone else. It would hardly be uncommon for Jews to dismiss Gentiles as inferior dogs. And Gentiles have their own unflattering descriptions of Jews. But does Jesus really use such offensive, such seemingly racist language? Did Jesus really say that? You know, there's a view in some academic circles that the early church invented the stories of Jesus. And stories like this one make a nonsense of that theory. Who would invent one like this? And does this untaught Gentile woman really out-argue Jesus? What a fascinating story. And what lessons it has to teach us. I remember preaching on this very passage 9 years ago, and it made a deep impression on me, whether anyone else was impacted. And some things changed for me that week, which have stayed different ever since. My prayer is that it will have the same effect on you. So here's the plan. First, we're going to look at Jesus' strange response and what explains it. And we're going to spend most of our time on that, or a good part of our time on that. And then we'll look at the woman's request and what characterizes it. So Jesus, it's sort of backwards, but we're going to do it that way around as a reason. So Jesus' strange response and what explains it. And then the woman's request and what characterizes it. And then finally, we're going to highlight four lessons for each of us to take away, sort of the take home from this passage. First then, Jesus' strange response. Verse 21 sets the scene. Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus has just clashed with the religious leaders from Jerusalem. He's just denounced them, and he's just denounced their religion. And he has scathingly exposed their reliance on human tradition, their hypocrisy, their religious innovation, their focus on externals when God is interested in the heart. He's just denounced them as false teachers, as blind shepherds. And unsurprisingly, they were offended. And so here is Jesus withdrawing, stepping back from the decisive confrontation. That will come. Jesus knows it, but not yet. And so Jesus is moving out to the fringes, over the borders into Gentile country, out of the public gaze. But he isn't able to avoid notice. Behold, a woman of Canaan, a Canaanite woman, came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Why does she call him Son of David? David had been the great king of 1,000 years before, greatest king of the nation, being the shepherd king, the giant slayer, the father of Solomon the Wise. And God had promised to send a king again, a son in David's line, a new David. And others in their need had addressed Jesus in this way. Others had called Jesus Son of David and got help. As the king of the Jews, as the Messiah. And so this lady does too. But he answered her, not a word. The first response she gets is stony silence. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." What do you think that means? Are they just harsh and unfeeling? Just tell her to go. But there's another possibility. Maybe they're saying, just give her what she wants. Just heal her daughter. You know, and then we'll get some peace. Because that makes more sense of Jesus' answer in verse 24. They said, just send her away. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see how they say, you know, just give her what she wants. They know that he can heal. He says, I was not sent to except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She's not one of those. She's a Gentile. Just give her what she wants, but he won't. And the implication is that this is all said in her hearing. Verse 25, then she came and worshipped him, or then she came and fell at his feet, saying, Lord, help me. And then we get the strangest words of all. He answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. It's speech language, but the point is painfully clear. The Jews were God's chosen people. When God had rescued them from Egypt over 1,000 years before, more than that, he'd said, Israel is my chosen son. They were children of Abraham. Now, many Jews had misinterpreted that chosenness as if they were somehow intrinsically special and more deserving. They saw themselves as a guide to the blind, a light to those in darkness, an instructor of the foolish. And so they looked down on the other nations. They were the children, God's children. By comparison, Gentiles, non-Jews, were dogs. And now Jesus is taking that sort of language on his lips. Now, dogs in Jesus, I'm not sure about little dogs here. Dogs in Jesus' culture were not pampered pets. They were not cute puppies on the front of birthday cards or internet memes. Do you know, the dogs in the ancient Near East, dogs in first century Palestine, were not that sort of thing. I've had a few encounters with dogs. In Cyprus, I remember being set on by a mother dog, and there was babies nearby. Once I was in Peru, in Cusco, and they said, well, if the dog comes, just stoop down and pick up a stone, and they know what the action is there. That's the culture, that's the society. This is not a term of endearment. It's not affectionate, the way that Gentiles were called dogs. Dogs were nasty scavengers. So Jesus appears insensitive. He appears downright rude. It all seems so out of character. What explains it? You want to know, don't you? I hope. Well, I think there are two things that we can rule out. Firstly, it wasn't racism and it wasn't social prejudice. How can we be sure? Because everywhere else, Jesus is remarkably comfortable breaking social taboos. Matthew 8, we read how he welcomes a centurion. He touches a leper earlier in the chapter. In John chapter 4, he stays in a town of Samaritans. Indeed, he told the parable of the Good Samaritan. That's rather like talking about the good conservative at a Labour rally. It wasn't racism, it wasn't social prejudice, and it wasn't just irritation. How do we know? Well, it's clear from everything else we see of Jesus in the Gospels. Check chapter 14 and verse 30.